Let's take a moment of silence, opportunity to prepare for the study of the Word by acknowledging any known sin if necessary. Father, we thank you for the opportunity provided for us to gather together for the purpose of receiving the communication of your Word that provides us with the information we need to have in order to understand our situation in the devil's world, the purpose for it, and your provision for it. So as we study, we ask that by means of the Spirit, the information that is communicated will subsequently be made available for recall and application. And we ask this, thank you in Jesus' name, amen. My passage for the class is Hosea 8:6b to 7, where it says their idol in the NET Bible will be broken into pieces. Samaria had the northern kingdom of Israel, otherwise known as Samaria, had a calf idol that Jeroboam had established as a replacement for the true priesthood, and God is warning them that their idol will be broken. And of course, idols are anything we put before God and God's plan. In the case of Israel, and it was literal idolatry in the sense of the idols of the nations around them. In the case of our country and countries in modern context, it has to do with placing things before God, things like power and money, etc., and prioritizing that in your life as opposed to God's word of truth. So in this case, what Hosea is warning them is that their idol will be broken into pieces. They sow to the wind, so they will reap the whirlwind. And that's the NET translation. And of course, what that means is rejecting God, they will be destroyed. And of course, that's the basis of our study here. So in our study, we are noting the consequences of negative listening to God's word of truth, and have been noting passages that describe the fall of the Israelite client nations who had rejected God's word. And we're specifically looking at the one for the northern kingdom here. Remember, Israel had multiple instantiations. God had prophecies for them that related to the seed of the woman. The promises that God gave to them were related to the prophecies, and so that was their doctrine. And they looked to the prophecies as the basis for God coming through for them. And when they oriented to the truth of God's word, they were ascendant, and disoriented to it, they were descendant. So we're looking at God's warning to the northern kingdom of Israel in Hosea 4, verses 1 to 6, where it says, listen or hear, Shema, the word Shema, as it says in the Shema in Deuteronomy, where it says, Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad. That's I believe 6:4 of Deuteronomy. It has to do with the gospel. The Lord your God is unique. The Lord your God is God. The Lord your God is unique. That's what that passage says. This is the same word, Shema, which means to listen, to hear, to pay attention to. So pay attention to or listen to the word of the Lord, O sons of Israel. For the Lord has a case, and this, we've noted this is a judicial case against the inhabitants of the land, the reason for that is there is no faithfulness, kindness, knowledge of God in the land. There is swearing, deception, murder, stealing, and adultery. We've noted these words are a little more clear than that, and as we've developed them, that actually has to do with sexual immorality and violence. It goes on to say they employ violence so that bloodshed follows bloodshed, therefore the land mourns, is where we're at. We're in verse 3 in the B part. And everyone who lives in it languishes, and along with the beasts of the field, the birds of the sky, and the fish of the sea will disappear. So we're in verse 3, the B part, where it says all inhabitants will waste away, and the beasts of the fields, and the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea will be removed. Of course, it says disappear. We'll note that, what that means. Wasting away includes losing your identity, as well as being encouraged. It results in a loss of patriotism and the will to live. So this is basically a failure to have a spiritual self-esteem, or even a natural human self-esteem from establishment. People suffer, with the result that the animals that they need for food are removed by death or lack of food, or disappear because of lack of food due to famine in the land, causes them to change their migration patterns. You know, the thing about especially migratory birds and such, even fish, if there's no food for them in a given region because of God's discipline creating a situation of famine, they will actually change their migration patterns to go where there is food. So this is the kind of thing that would happen to a nation dependent upon those kinds of transitory resources. This is the principle we noted last time, of transit gloria mundi, or the principle of there is no advantage to having the advantages without the advantage. And we saw that that means that the advantages of material prosperity are not an advantage without the capacity needed for the advantage that only comes from spiritual prosperity from God's word of truth. So we see that, and we're going to note today the idea that God targets spiritual prosperity with material prosperity, or he targets human freedom spiritual freedom with human freedom. The basis for prosperity is God's grace that's imputed to those who keep his word, so material prosperity will not last without the spiritual prosperity that comes from compliance with doctrinal truth. So, see, we're in a station in our nation at this point, and of course Israel was as well, where they had great prosperity from positive volition, and they were living on the momentum associated with that prosperity. But the generation had come that had forgotten or left off of God's word. As a result, they were adopting the doctrines of demons, which had to do with their idolatry. Same thing happening in our country, only it's just different in the way it's implemented. And so the people think that their prosperity will continue, but it won't, because the source of the prosperity is the spiritual prosperity. The source of the human prosperity and freedom is the spiritual prosperity that's the undergirding of it. That's why faith, as we've noted in Hebrews 11, is the unseen substrate under which all things are maintained. The invisible that holds together the visible. An economy based on free enterprise creates an environment where capacity for the imputation of God's grace is possible because people are functioning on the basis of free volition, rather than tyrannical coercion from evil government. See, the real big difference between free enterprise and socialism and or communism is determinism. Socialism and communism create a deterministic environment where the government gives away or doles out resources to people on the basis of its own agenda. So the government, in essence, becomes God. Free enterprise, on the other hand, looks to the true God as the source and provides freedom. And of course, with freedom, you have the potential for good things and bad things to happen. You have potential for success, potential for failure, and you allow that to continue. And it's in that lack of determinism that God's grace works. See, God works through chaos to create prosperity. That's why chaos is not, in the devil's world, chaos is God's doorway. When you think about it, we don't like chaos because it's non-deterministic and you don't know what's going on. You have to look to God as your source, not to your circumstances. People don't like that. People want to be able to have things very locked down. But the problem with that is then that leaves out God. Of course, that's exactly what Satan wants. So when you look at a satanic system, it involves complete locked in system where the feedback loops lock back in and everything is tied all together. You're in total control. The government's in total control. So that's what you see the demonic individuals in our country promoting at this time, which of course destroys free enterprise and destroys orientation to God. Economic depression is a consequence of the destruction of free enterprise from the infiltration of the evil of demon doctrines into the thinking of the people, and that's what we see happening. And that same kind of thing had happened in Israel. At its inception, like every other successful nation, the Northern Kingdom of Israel was a society of highly successful and prosperous people, but as their thinking reverted from divine viewpoint into demonic viewpoint, they began to think in terms of evil. So again, evil is the deterministic side and looking to people and government as their source rather than to God. This false doctrine overflows into the economy when the government institutes a program or systems that stifle and destroy freedom, robbing the nation of its integrity and vigor. So what you end up with is stultification, because the people who have capacity are restrained and stolen from. They're actually plundered. And people who don't have capacity are given the things from the people who had capacity. So when you look at a country like ours, it's those who are involved in free enterprise, those who have so-called privilege, those who have been blessed by God on the basis of positive volition of the Word of God, are the ones that are stolen from. and it's given away to those who are not productive. And so the whole thing is stultified and shuts down. And you see that well, perfect textbook example, this is Venezuela. That's happened in the last 20 years. You know, when Chavez or whatever his name was took over down there, what was previously a rather chaotic nation, but extremely prosperous because of their oil exports, being one of the greatest suppliers of oil in the world at the time. And now they've become a beggar nation. And it's not because they couldn't be rich, it's because they have misused and abused the capacity to create wealth and destroyed it. And they've robbed the nation of its integrity and vigor. So Castro did the same thing in Cuba, and it's been, you know, however many years since that was, the early 60s, and it hasn't changed. So Venezuela's followed suit. Some countries kind of get out of it, kind of maybe, but really they don't. But that's what you have in Russia and China and places like that, even though they have managed to veneer over it to a large extent. Those are still stultified economies, and if you ever go there and actually run around the place, you'll figure that out. Israel was originally a theocracy that eventually eroded into an evil monarchy, where even the environment, including the animal life, was adversely affected as God judged the nation for its reversionism. So again, negative listen to doctrine leads to discipline from God and lack of prosperity. The same kind of decline is evident in the USA that was founded as a republic but is presently tending to function under the demonic influence of mob rule as an evil democracy. So what you have here in our country is people are forgetting the history, the fact that we were originally founded as a republic, and the purpose of a republic was to have the public elect representatives that would then make the laws. And hopefully the representatives they would elect would represent the public with integrity. Of course, that's not happening. And so we have the whole thing devolving into a mob rule. And of course, the technology enables this today. That's one of the things we face, the ability of to actually manage it as the individual vote, if people did vote, is possible with today's technology. Human freedom and prosperity is based on spiritual freedom and prosperity. This means that people with human freedom and prosperity will lose it and become slaves without maintaining the spiritual freedom and prosperity. So you got to remember, that goes back to our principle. The advantage is no advantage without the advantages. Or the advantages are no advantage without the advantage. That's the way it should be said. So without doctrine and capacity for prosperity, the prosperity won't be maintained. What people don't recognize is that as our nation deviates from truth by the insertion of demon doctrines, the prosperity will be gone. It will be removed. And it's because of the process. You see, the culture creates the capacity for prosperity. And the culture has to be based on the Word of God. And if it's not, then you have a demon culture, which is disastrous and which will be destroyed. On the other hand, people without human freedom, so this can work in an ascendant mode or a descendant mode. See, we have, so in our case it's a descendancy. We have to maintain positive listen to the Word of God to continue the grace of God's imputation towards us that provides us with what people call privilege, but it's nothing more than God's grace. So the flip side is also the case. On the other hand, people without human freedom, in other words, people who are slaves and who have no prosperity, as a result, they are slaves, will gain their freedom if they acquire spiritual freedom and prosperity. And we see this happen this is the basis for the Western civilization right there. People who were slaves in former environments are no longer slaves because of the Word of God and Christianity. And all the freedoms that we take for granted today are based on Christianity. You know, even in fact, the abolition of slavery as a national policy is a product of Christianity. You know, before the American Civil War, or the American War between the states was fought, the rest of Europe had already pretty much left off of slavery, and they were the ones who invented the whole thing. They were the ones. The reason the people in the South had slaves is because the Europeans had slaves. And the majority of the slaves from Africa came, did not go to the United States and North America. They came, they went to Central and South America. And I've talked about this before. And the greatest, most prosperous country in the region was Haiti at the time, which is now terrible. And the reason for that, of course, is their attack on Christianity back in the 1800s. So the, what you have is a situation where people who have God's word are actually given freedom. If they acquire God's word in slavery, they will then be given freedom. And you can say that that's what happened to the slaves in the United States. And for that matter, that across Western Europe. Because doctrine enlightened people with the result that slavery was abandoned and in some cases actually made illegal. So, and it happened automatically. It wasn't a product of the government forcing it, as it was in the United States. In Europe, it happened automatically. It was a bottom-up kind of thing that happened. The people did that on their own. And the government eventually did catch up with it, but it wasn't started that way. In the United States, it was the other way around because of the way the United States was being governed at the time. And the timing of the attacks on freedom associated with the abolitionists. Their anarchy created that environment. So that was actually bad. It was detrimental. Had the country gone through a normal process, it would have happened anyway, is the point. Because doctrine was going to cause it to happen. So the first generation of Israel, who were slaves in Egypt, gained their freedom from positive volition to the gospel. But after God freed them, Egypt, they had no capacity for it. So what you see with Israel is a perfect example of people who have acquired freedom on the basis of positive volition to the gospel, but when given freedom, have no capacity to maintain it. So that's why the first generation ended up dead, except for a couple of people. So they had no capacity for it because they were negative to doctrine. So not only do you have to be, for this to persist and to function, not only do you have to be positive to the gospel, but you have to be positive to the thinking of Christ. In our nation, there's a lot of people who are positive to Jesus and believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Okay, fine, you're saved. But there's a lot of people who don't follow up and continue with positive volition to the thinking of Christ. So that results in the fact that this nation is in a downtrend. Because the only way that you can hold off the negative activities of the doctrines of demons is through consistent perception, metabolization, and application of doctrine. So the rate of learning has to exceed the rate of forgetting, and that has ceased to be the case. You know, so we have a declining nation because of people's negative volition to doctrine. But again, in Egypt, in Israel and Egypt was just the opposite. They went out, and actually the kids who did listen to Moses were able to enter the land. So that the first generation were negative, so all but Caleb and Joshua ended up dying in the wilderness under divine discipline. So that was that's an example of people being saved and going to heaven, having no doctrine, therefore no capacity to have prosperity, and ended up dying under dying discipline. The principle is that God's unfailing love that is expressed in His grace always pursues capacity created by His word of truth. That's the thing we have to realize. Psalms 23:6 describes this, and Net Note 6 describes it as well. In fact, let's read it in the Net. It says, "Surely goodness and faithfulness will pursue me all my days, and I will live in the house of the Lord for the rest of my life," or forever. Now, this Net Note, this word is really interesting, and it's one that you should have in your head, because this is how God's grace works, and this is how grace chases doctrine. The use of radif, which is translated pursue, chase, goodness with goodness and faithfulness, as a subject is ironic, and that's true. It is ironic because you don't really think about it that way. This is the only place in the entire Old Testament where either of these nouns appears to be as the subject of this verb. Radif, translated pursue. This verb is often used to describe the hostile actions of enemies. One might expect the psalmist's enemies to chase him down, to pursue him, in other words, to kill him. But ironically, God's goodness and faithfulness, which are personified and stand by metonymy for God, so here we have God Himself pursuing the individual, God pursues him instead. The word pursue is used outside of its normal context as in an ironic manner to create a unique but pleasant word picture of God's favor or a grace oriented God, the everlasting love of God, chasing down the one whom he loves. So that's the thing. So how is it that he loves us positionally based on our relationship with God through Christ, faith in Christ, but we love God through our positive listen to his word. So our capacity for this prosperity comes from the word. So the issue here, and David understood this. This is why David, as he matured, became much more relaxed in his life. And he wasn't pursuing things in the way that he did earlier. In fact, he got himself into a lot of trouble doing that. So he recognized that God, in fact, we understand from doctrine that he didn't have to chase down Bathsheba and kill her husband to get her. she was gonna be handed there. And had he waited, that would have happened. And we need to learn the same principle, that God is in the process of chasing us down to give us grace. The challenge to us is to be waiting on him by positive listen. So we wait on God by persistent perception, metabolization, and application of doctrine. If a nation would do that, the same thing would occur. The blessings associated with privilege in this country are all product of positive listen to the Word of God. So in whatever category, you could say there's prosperity associated with establishment, there's a prosperity associated with the gospel, and there's a prosperity associated with doctrine. And of course, the greatest area is doctrine. So that's an important concept. And our nation is leaving off of this. We're disregarding this. We're blowing it off. And as a result, we're coming under discipline, which is actually going to decrease our situation. So what's happening is the country is being destroyed by people's negative volition. That's what's going on here. We're being destroyed from the inside out. And we are becoming rotten to the core. We have this beautiful facade and exterior as though we've got all this stuff, but inside we're dead man's bones, because we are dead. If we're operating in carnal death or spiritual death or some category of death, we're basically dead. So we're zombies. We may look good outside, but on the inside we're dead. And that's exactly what Jesus told the Pharisees they were. Isaiah 4. Let no one accuse or offer criticism against anyone else as for an example, evil, self-righteous, social justice, or I call them injustice, activists, communities, organizers, or disorganizers do when they blame those with so-called privilege. For in my case, it's against the priest. So now we get to the core of the problem. The core of the problem is laid at the feet of the communicators of the word, or those who are responsible for communicating it, and have been. And in our country, we have a huge segment of our society where there's a lot of believers, but there's no doctrine being taught. It's all about community organization. It's all about social activism. That entire subculture within the United States who were once slaves has just left off of truth and totally rejected grace. And as a result, they're under divine discipline, and there's no fixing it as long as their teachers won't teach God's word. And they're not. They're going completely against the word of God and becoming activists, which is satanic and evil. So, that's not fixable. And the whole country is going that direction. I mean, we're following that. We're not holding it back. Although we do, at this moment of time, have a slight resistance on the basis of the leadership in our nation, only in the White House. So nobody else. The rest of the people don't have a clue. The Congress and the judges, for the most part, have no idea what's going on here. The only one that does is the president. And so, good luck with that. When the client nation enters into the throes of national discipline, the people who are becoming devoid of integrity and grace and divine viewpoint begin to fragment into factions and project blame for the problems on each other. Now you can look at that when you look at other nations who were in positions of strength and what happened to them as they went into decline and who they blamed in the process. And it turns out, who do they always blame? The Jews and the Christians. That's what they blame. So that's what's going to happen here. And they're already doing it. If you listen to the news, it's there. There's what's called Christian privilege, which I've talked about. Now I've actually heard college people talking about it. And they think that's a bad thing. Well, it's actually not a bad thing. It's a good thing, because that's what's holding the country together. And we know the promises of God to Israel. So when you're anti-Semite, you're in real trouble, because God is a full-fledged at war with you in that case. So, and that's why some people on this planet, some nations, are never going to ever go anywhere because of their negative volition to that. So that's an instant destruction. this is the fragmentation that's occurring in our country today, where people are with so-called privilege. I don't care what the source is, whether they think it's related to your color or your religion, it doesn't matter. So-called privilege, it's not really privilege, it's grace, are being accused of being the source of a problem when it's actually just the opposite, but almost no one understands this. See, the privileged people are carrying the whole country. You know, that's the reality. You're talking about the pivot. The pivot's being blamed. Okay? That's what's going on. So, and of course that's what Satan does. Satan is going to accuse God's people of being the cause of the problem. And that's how he gains a hold over the nation. And if that viewpoint continues to ascend and completely become dominant in the nation's history, he's destroyed the nation because of that. Romans 3:10 to 18. There is none righteous, no, not even one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks for God. All have turned aside, together they have become useless. There is none who does good. There's not even one. This is our country. This is where we're going. Their throat is an open grave, for their tongues they keep deceiving. The poison of asps is under their lips, and those mouths is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed innocent blood, and destruction and misery are in their paths, and the paths of peace they have not known. And there is no respect of God before their eyes. That's what's going on. No one understands the real source of the blessings that they want. And they want to maintain this stuff, but they're just doing everything opposite because of their negative listen to truth. So the failure to understand is the result of the failure of those who are responsible for communicating God's word of truth to the people. So it isn't about community organizing. It's not about allocation of resources from government. It's about orienting to the truth of God's word and then allowing God to grace you out in the manner and fashion that he chooses to. Failure to communicate God's word of truth leads to a spiritually ignorant population that has bought the lie with the result that the people are unable to apply biblical problem-solving devices when faced with unrestrained criminality or the invasion of a predator nation. In fact, their activities actually create unrestrained criminality because people are completely disoriented to truth. And so people who are left completely unhinged, we see that in Timothy, disrespectful to parents and the whole thing. There's a whole litany of things that go on there relating to that and disorientation to a legitimate authority. And it all starts in the home. And of course, as we've seen, Satan has targeted the home, and it's one of the places where he's had great success in destroying the nation, because the basis of the nation is the family. As a result, the people can only rely upon human viewpoint that is based on demonic viewpoint, that in its attempts to fix the problems created by human good and evil can only produce tyranny, because their ideas actually exacerbate the situation. So everything they do is the wrong thing, and it makes it worse. And the whole thing goes into a death spiral. That's precisely what happens. There's no recover from this apart from positive listening to Jesus Christ and the Word of God. This is why the First and Second Amendments of the Constitution under massive assault in our country today, and most pastors say nothing. You see, they've bought the lie. They think that peace comes through compromise, etc. That's not the case. You have to hold your ground with doctrine. The Constitution was founded on the basis of the inalienable rights of the individual that are given to them by God, not the country. The government does not give anybody any rights. All they can do is try to take them away. And we should resist that at maximum pressure. We do not allow that to happen. In Israel, the Levitical priests communicated doctrine with the rituals, animal sacrifices, and the observance of Sabbath and holy days, and the articles of furniture in the temple. Remember, they had a ritual plan. They had a system that oriented them to God through what they did on a daily, weekly, and annual basis. It was a continuously rotating cycle where they recalled the doctrine as they worked through the year. We have the Holy Spirit in us that recalls the doctrine to us if we have positive listen to the Holy Spirit and the mandate to acknowledge any known sin. So you keep on walking by means of the Spirit by virtue of the filling ministry of the Spirit as a result of the acknowledgement of any known sin. The prophets in Israel were also Bible teachers, but they had also become propagandized by demon doctrine to the point where they were also teaching demonic lies. So there was no truth. And when there's no truth, there's no hope. Demonic lies, such as the falsehood that divine establishment principles only benefit the rich, because that's called privilege, and won't work for the poor. Of course, that's a lie. they will work for the poor, because the poor can actually be extracted from their poverty through positive volition of the Word of God, and divine establishment is the basis for that extraction. The lie that compromising with truth and tolerating sin and evil will bring equality and happiness. And of course that has to do with immorality, etc., licentiousness. That's not happiness. That's going to create tyranny and disaster, and we see that in our nation. Or that unilateral disarmament and internationalism will create universal peace and prosperity in the devil's world. Again, more lies. That's Satan's one of his things he wants to do, is to create a universal, no borders environment. And of course, that's the basis of his bringing about the internationalism that occurs in the tribulation. So again, all of establishment opposes that, and as long as that's in play, Satan will be restrained. And of course, the agency of that restraint is the Holy Spirit through the church. So we'll pick up here next time. Father, we thank you for the opportunity you provide for us to study your word and the blessing it is for us to understand it, as well as how it is that we deploy doctrine in order to stave off the decline, or at least slow it down a bit, according to your will and your desire that all men be saved. The more time we have, the more opportunity there is for salvation, and the more that is accomplished. So help us to recall and apply this as we face the challenges that are facing us in this environment. And we ask this, thank you in Jesus' name, amen.